One big change from 2008 is that the presidential tickets don't seem to be paying any attention to Missouri whatsoever, even going back to the presidential primary earlier in the year. But certainly now, I have not seen any commercials on television or heard them on radio or seen anything in newspapers in terms of advertising for either of the national ticket candidates. Why is that? Do you guys have any thoughts about that?
You know, well, sure. I think it's simply a matter that both campaigns think Missouri already is in the Republican column, and the state really isn't worth fighting over because Mitt Romney will win Missouri on election night in just a few weeks from now. And yeah, I think you know the history, recent history is very illustrative here. Just 4 years ago, Barack Obama made an absolutely Herculean effort to pull this race out and beat John McCain in Missouri. Obama pulled out every stop to win it. Lots of TV advertising, and came within, I think the number is 3,000 votes out of
you know
several million that were cast. So it he came very, very close. And that was certainly a sign to the Democrats that if Obama couldn't win 4 years ago when he was a fresh, new face, he certainly can't win now when he's much better known and is the author of a health care plan that's very unpopular in Missouri. And so I think it's just a simple calculation that many other states were far more competitive. Why waste money in Missouri, which can't be won? And I just will add that it's a big change in this state. You know, Joe and I have been covering presidential candidates every 4 years, you know, virtually, you know, camping out in this state, one of the great bellwether, one of the great swing states in recent decades in this country. But that's all changed, at least for this cycle.
Well, I think in some ways 2012 is a little bit, maybe more so, but it reminds me somewhat of 2004, which is another midterm also, because in 2000, George W. Bush had carried the state, but not by much. And I was with the Post-Dispatch then, and we were doing tracking polls back in the days when newspapers had money. And we had Gore ahead up until the last few days. It just flipped near the end. Well, okay, so, but if you recall, the Democratic ticket, in part because of Governor Mel Carnahan's tragic plane crash, the rest of the Democratic ticket, except for one, post Secretary of State, went to Democrats. Okay, go to 2004. John Kerry tried hard. He pulled out in early October and pulled out his people, really, about 3 weeks before the election, and really put Claire McCaskill, who was running for governor, in a very much disadvantage because the state party and her operation had been relying in part on this federal money. There was this coordinated effort. And so all of a sudden, all these professionals are leaving the state, all these workers, and they have to try to rebuild something 3 weeks out, and they didn't have a great success doing that. So I think, and at that point, after that election, Republicans were saying that Missouri was solid red. I think 2008 showed that Missouri is probably a little bit more purple. But on the national front, I think that it's just like what Steve said. Both parties, national parties, they have a lot of money, but they still are targeting it to certain states. And they just don't see changing the dynamic here. Now, there are some Democrats who have continued to contend. In fact, Congressman Lacey Clay called me about a week ago, and he was contending that if Obama had put at least some money in, if the DNC had put in at least some money in, he thought that Obama might have had a chance, or at least could make it closer. Because his concern was that if there, and this is something Steve and I both said, if Romney wins by a large enough margin, that can have an impact down the ballot. There are some Democrats who wish that the national Democrats had at least put in some money, But on the other hand, Claire McCaskill seems to be doing pretty well, at least at the moment, because of various self-inflicted injuries by Todd Akin. Without the presidential presence, they've got a lot of money from Harry Reid, who's the Democratic head of the Senate here. So there's other national dynamics in other ways that are helping her. So at this point, you may have some of these Democratic candidates at the top of the ticket who would just assume that the presidential candidate stay out.
Plus, we've lost an electoral vote, too, since the last election. So that even weakens Missouri's position nationally on the ticket as far as the campaign is concerned, too.
Good point.
Well, I've been watching. We not only have an absence of national candidate participation in Missouri, but I have not seen what I thought was a very visible role for the state Republican or the state Democratic parties. Have I missed some things, or have the parties themselves, as entities, been less visible or less involved than they have been in the past?
I think there's two reasons for it, in my opinion. On the Democratic side, because the governor, whoever's the governor's titular head of that party, often that party becomes an arm of the governor's campaign. In this case, I think that's definitely true. While the governor does have a campaign operation, a lot of stuff, the jabs or other things that happen to assist the governor's campaign are coming out of the state Democratic Party. So the state Democratic Party is, in effect, an arm of Governor Jay Nixon's campaign. Now, they're helping others on the ticket, but Nixon is their first priority. And I think while they're helping McCaskill, but it's not nearly to that degree, they're mainly aligned with the governor. So it's an arm of the governor. On the Republican side, I think that the Republican Party was initially going to have a higher profile. I'm just speculating. But after all this blow-up with Todd Akin in August, I think that they are involved, but they're less visible. They are, you know, sending out releases in favor of Romney, for example, or other things. But I've noticed that while there is a Republican hand in this, as far as the state party helping some of their down-ballot people, I think for various reasons that they've decided to strategically not be so upfront about it publicly.
Yeah, I think the parties have played a role this time, Bob, but it has been much lower key. The one thing I would add to what Joe has said is that in this era of no campaign donation limits, where you have rich folks who can give untold amounts of money, $1 million, $500,000 to a preferred candidate, those folks, I think, are tending to give their money directly to the candidate. There's no reason to give it to the party as they might have before this time of no donation limits. You know, back then, the parties could help funnel the money around and sort of help candidates in a backdoor sort of way, and there was a reason to give to the parties. But now, if you're a rich person and you want to help Shane Scholer out for Secretary of State or Jason Kander out for Secretary of State, you just give them the money directly and leave the party out of it altogether.
Yeah, that's an excellent point, Steve. I think that the demise of campaign donation limits, even when that happened, I'm sure you and I know I did, and I'm sure you did, back when it happened 4 or 5 years ago, that you could foresee these make it really weakening the state parties. But it has fascinated me. I'd be interested in your gentleman's take on this, is that in the old days, I would think some of these major donors would still give to the state parties and let the state parties send the money over because maybe it doesn't look so bad. But it seems like the major donors are just giving it, like you say, directly to the candidates, even when it's $300,000, $400,000. I mean, these huge sums. And the rival candidate, you're now starting to see this in the last 10 days, are hitting back by claiming that so-and-so is in the pocket of such-and-such a donor. I'm just kind of wondering why there was no thought about at least the PR aspects of this.
Yeah, you know, and I the only thing I can think of there, Joe, is I've been a little surprised there hasn't been more outrage from the public when it comes to these donations, these incredible donations of $100,000, $200,000. You know, people, it keeps happening, and you just don't get a sense that there's this great outrage to stop it out there. And as a result, candidates continue to go to the well and accept these donations without really getting a whole lot of negative feedback, it seems to me. It's become sort of standard operating procedure. The media is not really writing about it a whole lot. They note the big donations, but it happens all the time, so any one donation isn't that big of a deal anymore. And I guess that's my two cents.
Yeah, and on the Republican side, they've had two major candidates who have self-financed their own campaign, so that has taken some pressure off of the state parties too, hasn't
it? Yeah.
Right, but you know, when I think about this, and I'm going to, as an old fart, back in 1992, this is back, and we didn't have campaign donation limits then either. I remember writing stories about candidates getting, I mean, $10,000 donations were somewhat standard, but I used to run a list in the newspaper of everybody's $10,000 donations, $10,000 or above. And if somebody gave a candidate $25,000 or $30,000, that was huge. And there was only a couple entities. One of them was Anheuser-Busch back in the day, who were huge donors and would give each side maybe $60,000 or $70,000. I mean, here it is 20 years later, but the sums, even when inflation is taken into account, I think the sums are much larger that are being given to the candidates from individuals and also groups. I mean, the Democratic Governors Association and Republican Governors Association have each given multi-millions to Nixon and to Dave Spence. I mean, it's fascinating to me how much more money openly is just going directly to somebody. And I don't think it's just the limits that are... Obviously, the limits have made it possible, but I think there must be something else going on, and maybe Steve touched on it, that they see there isn't that much public outrage, so they just go ahead and do it. But if you compare to what was given, as I said, just 20 years ago, back when we didn't have limits either, it wasn't the sums that you're seeing now.
I have not, but have you seen much indication that the parties are focusing some of their spending practices on maintaining their legislative positions or trying to improve their legislative positions? Is there money trickling down to those districts from the state parties?
I've seen some. There is
I've
on
seen
the side
some
of the
too.
State.
Yeah.
Targeted races. We've got a key state senate race over here that's held by Republican Jim Lemke, but the redistricting has made it more Democratic, and the state party, it's not so much a state party, but the Republican arm in the state Senate has been sending money over here. So that's, you may very well have hit on where some of that, where they're focusing on right now.
It looks like from the latest campaign finance reports that the Democratic candidates at the top of the ticket are doing better than their Republican counterparts, except in the lieutenant governor's race. The last numbers I saw, they were pretty even. But does the fact that the Democrats generally have a funding advantage mean that they are going to pretty much dominate the results on election night, do you think?
Well, I'm not convinced they're going to have a funding advantage, Bob. I know the candidates individually have raised, in many cases, more money than their Republican rivals. But I think in this era, again, of no contribution limits, that you know, there's three or four, half a dozen very wealthy individuals in Missouri who tend to give to Republicans who can make up those differences very, very quickly. And we're certainly watching for that every day here as those reports come into the Secretary of State's office and the Ethics Commission. So I'm not convinced that's the case. I think you have a series of races this year, individual races that, you know, maybe in some cases critics say the Republican candidates haven't been as strong, and that's given an advantage to Democrats, even though Republicans have really dominated the General Assembly in recent years. You know, you go down the ballot from the top, and Governor Nixon, it's always tough to defeat a sitting governor. You know, Dave Spence's campaign has really struggled from the start on so many levels, and the polls would indicate that he's still behind, although maybe closing a little bit. Senator McCaskill up for a second term, tough to defeat a sitting lawmaker. Senator McCaskill's numbers, re-election numbers, have not been real strong, but she has been blessed in a way with this very error-prone candidacy of Todd Akin, which has given her an enormous opportunity to win re-election. So I think that the Democrats have, you know, the individual races, the individual dynamics here have really tended to favor them here as they head down the stretch. And it's going to be interesting in Missouri this year because you have, you know, Mitt Romney favored to win the presidency, at least in Missouri. And so voters will vote Republican, and they'll switch back and vote, you know, Democratic maybe in some cases for governor and U.S. Senate, and then they'll move on down the ballot. It'll be interesting to see where they go. But I think Republicans will look back on this year and maybe wish they had it back again sometime.
Yeah, straight ticket, and, you know, it was their idea to get rid of it. And now over here, for example, Republican Secretary of State candidate Shane Scholer is in the St. Louis area campaigning. He's highlighting his push to get a requirement for government-issued photo ID at the polls, and some labor activists are planning to be there to campaign against him, calling it the voter suppression tour. But what's even more notable is while he's here, Rex Singfeld, the retired financier who is worth tons of money, is holding a fundraiser for him, and all of the Republican members of Congress or the candidates, and this includes Akin, have been invited to attend as the private event at Singfeld's home. But this is the type of thing that, as Steve said, that could raise enough money in one night to more than take care of the additional edge that Jason Kander, the Democrat, has had in the money department for the last few months. I mean, Singfeld's already Scholer's biggest individual donor, and this fundraiser could very well wipe out Kander's edge just in one night, 10 days before the election. So that's the type of thing that you can happen pretty quickly. So I agree with Steve that by the last week of the election, there may not be that much of a financial disparity between the Republicans and Democrats.
Our next program after this one will be on the day before the election. What do you folks see from your experience happens in the last week before the election in Missouri? And what do you expect is going to happen in terms of the candidates with their final pushes in that last week? What are we likely to see and hear?
Well, I think you'll hear and see a lot of things on the radio and on TV, Bob, but I think the more significant development will be sort of behind the scenes, and it's the same thing we'll see at the presidential campaign level, maybe not so much in Missouri this time, but in those key swing states like Ohio and Wisconsin, that these ground games will very much move into place. And Democrats feel very confident they've got a better ground game this year, which really translates to, you know, the ability to get voters to the polls or to advance vote in their homes via the mail in some cases these days. So I think that's sort of the phase of the campaign we're in, where you'll see candidates out doing their sort of same stump speeches, but this under the radar ground game will sort of really kick into gear. And if you hear the listen to the Democrats in Missouri this time, they think they've got something going. They have spent Senator McCaskill's campaign spending big money, millions of dollars this time around to ensure that they can get voters to the polls. And they've been door knocking and, you know, handing out flyers and door hangers and all those kinds of things. They have the stats, they say, that proves it, that they're out doing all that. We'll see to what extent Republicans can match that as we move into the final 10 days or so. But I think that's the real tale of the tape you know, in some races, particularly those down ballot races in Missouri that at least today look more like coin flip races. Joe's mentioned the Secretary of State's race with Shane Scholer and Jason Kander. Maybe that's the classic coin flip race in terms of where things stand today. So I think it's all about the ground game. That's the subtle behind the scenes thing that's going on right now.
Well, I think it's that and the TV ads. As I mentioned before, I still think it's a mistake the way these down ballot races wait till the last couple weeks, and then they all jump on TV at the same time. At least in the St. Louis side, you know, we're seeing tons of ads by all the candidates, and for an average viewer who doesn't make a living following all these people, it's got to be hard to tell who's who, and especially because the St. Louis TV market is being deluged with a bunch of ads from Illinois because there's two hot congressional races over there, and they've eaten into a lot of TV time. So I agree with Steve. It seems like there's a two-pronged approach. They're pouring money on TV, and then they're trying to work up this ground game. And the Democrats, anyway, are definitely relying on labor in the St. Louis area to help out. Republicans are also relying on some of the conservative groups like Missouri Right to Life and others who've been doing this for decades, who put flyers on windshields of cars and that sort of thing to remind people to vote. But one thing I have noticed that there isn't much of, and this has been going on for the last 16 years, but it just has really struck me since 96, there just aren't that many public rallies anymore. There aren't these big public events. I mean, maybe they have these small public events, but they don't really publicize it, and you only find out about it if you happen to be looking at the candidate's website. And there just aren't these big, they'll have maybe something with several candidates, and they're all the regulars, the relatives, and some regulars who will be there, so they'll have a few hundred. But you don't see, like, what you used to see. They said back in 92 where the campaigns would have rallies and actually things where an average person could go to and it was publicized well in advance. Now you don't see that at all. It's either on TV or maybe, you know, door-to-door, and maybe if you're connected, you'll hear about something like a fundraiser or a small gathering. But you don't see that type of just open, you know, everybody show up in front of the courthouse or whatever. You don't see that much anymore.
Yeah, but money's such a factor anymore, though, that you don't have time for those, do you? You're busy having your high-cost dinners, your high-cost meet-and-greets, your high-cost teas. So you don't really have time to go out and have the courthouse gatherings anymore, do they?
I think it's true.